Kia ora, Peter. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, good, good. Well, for those listening, every week, if you've just tuned in for the first time, well, every week we entice Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham to come and talk to us about all matters of the spiritual realms. It could be obscure religions. It could be something stupid that Donald Trump's gone and done at a prayer breakfast. So what is it today, Peter? What are we talking about today?
Exactly the latter topic. Exactly the latter.
Well. Please enlighten. Now, I have. I had some pleasant offline time and haven't watched or read about this prayer breakfast. So, please paint the picture.
Yeah. So the presidential prayer breakfast has been a tradition in the USA since 1953 under Dwight Eisenhower, and every president attends these because they're just another chance for him to get on the platform, although they're arranged supposedly by a neutral committee, and they also have a featured guest, though who goodness knows who was the featured guest this time, because Trump grabbed the vast amount of time. They're typically a couple of hours at the Hilton Hotel in Washington, with about 3,500 people in attendance. So if you're at the bottom of the queue, I guess your porridge is cold by the time it reaches you. But various people give speeches, and the president always gives a speech. And being Donald Trump, did he give a speech?
kind of.
I found a site which has the full notes of his prompts that he got on the screen, but whether he followed the prompts, I have no idea. He spoke for 77 minutes. He was supposed to speak for 15 minutes.
Wow.
So everybody was late for the next appointment, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
Conclude.
And what percentage of them were actual words and sentences? Well, that's 77 minutes.
It was just a typical Trump ramble. He did claim as an excuse partway through the talk that he'd only got to bed at 4 a.m. having got off a plane or something. So perhaps he'd been at Davos, I'm not sure. And so we can excuse him for being perhaps not wide awake. But Trump not wide awake is actually more entertaining in some ways. The highlights of the speech, it's hard to say what they were. He's bragging that he has personally caused a return to religion in the USA. Would you believe it? It seems an unlikely claim.
Do you think it's because he's heard so many people screaming, God save us?
Yeah. And he attacked, of course, Sleepy Joe, who he said didn't have any brains. And so had no idea what he was doing.
Yep.
He made a curious remark about Mike Johnson, who's the
Speaker.
The Speaker of the House? I think so. Yes, because the Vice President is the equivalent in the Senate. And he said he was praying all the time, and even during a meal, he wants to pray. What are we coming to, kind of thing? Which is kind of wacky, because, I mean, Trump sort of reads his audience, but some of his remarks were not quite tailored to go down with a religious crowd. And he had his usual musing about whether he was going to make it to heaven.
Well, did he do? That's a relatively recent thing, isn't it?
Beg your pardon?
It's a relatively recent thing he's been doing, but he has been talking a lot.
This could be the influence of Paula White, you know, the prophet lady who is chairing the Presidential Commission on Faith. Maybe she's getting to him. I'm not sure. Yes, he does seem to be worrying about, is heaven's gate going to open to him? And his general opinion is probably not, but it ought to.
That's so interesting because, you know, he's above everyone and everything in his mind. It's interesting to get that insight to go, okay, well, what's he scared of? He's scared of what's next, obviously.
Well, Yes, there's no indication of what he's scared of, but that his confidence is simply astounding, you know, in what he has achieved and what he's done, and how the world ought to be indebted to him, and how that the, you know, would any believer vote for the Democrats? There's no politeness in there. With some interesting remarks that I picked up on one website, which was what originally drew me to suggest this topic, because, I mean, a ramble from Trump is not unusual.
No, yeah.
Is that Hesketh, his defense secretary, made a series of remarks which I thought were just astounding. He said that he'd instituted a prayer meeting at the Pentagon and every day, and it proved, because America was founded as a Christian nation, it was the sacred duty to protect this. And in the terrible fight against good and evil, which, where, of course, America is rallying the good side, he said, let me just quote, like Christ in earthly ways, our brave warriors are not called to appease the world. They must confront it. We know we fight a physical battle, but ultimately grounded, as the president said, in a spiritual battlefield. Not only are we warriors armed with the arsenal of freedom, we ultimately are armed with the arsenal of faith and have been from the beginning. And then he said, absolutely amazing, the warrior who is willing to lay down his life for his unit, his country, and his creator, that warrior finds eternal life. Now, this could be President Putin or his patriarch of Moscow to a T. Exactly the same remark, that if you fight on the side of this country, you are given eternal life.
It's sounding like the kind of suicide bomber logic that they would previously have used as evidence that other people are psychotic.
And, I mean, that is really alarming. Because if we have supposedly the leading democratic nation in the world inciting this kind of violence for the cause of truth, well, where is it going to end?
Good question.
Well, it's going to end in a mess. I mean, it's clear it's going to end in a mess.
Yes.
But what is, to me, interesting is that the audience mostly just laughed at the jokes, and that a lot of it wasn't news. They'd heard bits and pieces of his religious musings before. But they swallow the stuff, and it does not bode well for the future, I don't think.
No. It's interesting that, like, co-opting... I don't think Trump will ever be able to convincingly pass himself off as a Christian, but he tries. Like, he kind of... he blusters his...
He tries, and then he disingenuously says, I can't achieve this. And he knows that, of course, within the evangelical world, which is largely the people who attend the presidential prayer breakfast, he is often likened to Cyrus of Persia, who freed the Jews and was portrayed as God's appointed rescuer of the Jews from Babylon, but clearly was not a Jew. And so to liken Trump to Cyrus becomes a way that you can justify somebody doing the work of God but not quite measuring up to the standards that we would like to see.
Right. Do you think there's they're going to try the old the flawed King David, you know, like
But it's a dangerous logic, because you could sacrifice any behavior on this basis. And just let it off and say, oh, well, it's being used by God. And so it's a kind of casuistry that finds everything is grist to the mill of what's going on, and nothing is wrong or right. It just serves a good end.
Yeah. It's part of it. They kind of.
I think that was the tone of the presidential prayer breakfast. So there was one marvelous moment where the son of Jesse Jackson, did you see any cuts of this?
No.
Okay, so the son of Jesse Jackson spoke briefly with Trump sitting right behind him and said that we must stand up for the poor and the helpless and the needy, and we must not allow the Republic to become vindictive. And that Trump possibly wasn't listening, because he then shakes the hand of this black man and seems to delight in his remarks, but clearly doesn't understand that they're directed against him.
Yeah. He takes a minute to understand these things, eh? Oh, well.
You know that we do have something like this in New Zealand?
No, tell me more.
Yeah, so that in New Zealand, the National Prayer Breakfast has been held in Parliament or in the Legislative Council building, room in Parliament, for, I think, quite a long time. It doesn't have anything like the status, and it wouldn't necessarily attract the Prime Minister. But it does carry on and tries to have about this kind of aura. The Australians do it more successfully.
Right.
We're not desperately religious as a country, so you don't expect a full turnout of everybody who wants to be seen.
Interesting. So it's a more genuine seeming kind of...
Possibly more genuine, but they're clearly modelled on the state's model.
Yeah.
And it does presuppose it's sort of an uncomfortable line. Of course, religious people want to influence politics and should not remain aloof from politics. But the trouble is that the hand of politics does have a habit of being a dirty hand.
Yeah. I agree. And perhaps we'll leave it on that resounding note, I feel. You're right. So I think it's sort of you've articulated it very well, I've got to say. Are there any other things coming up internationally though that we should be looking at?
Of course we've missed a series of significant national religious moments in New Zealand. Waitangi Day and the prayer meeting, the colourful prayer meeting, is always so intriguing. That's New Zealand's nearest equivalent, actually.
Right.
But it's quite easy to break into that prayer meeting because at 5 a.m. and security isn't great. so you have the heckling of the deputy prime minister, and the like, and the prime minister not even bothering to attend. I've actually been reading a very interesting article about the days when that prayer meeting was spectacularly hot, and where a number of now very prominent religious figures were arrested and fined, I think it was $90 each, for disrupting the prayer breakfast, one of whom shook ashes across the crowd at Waitangi.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, I haven't talked about Ratna's birthday, but there are regular Ratna events, and it would be good to have a good talk about the directions Ratna is going at the moment.
Absolutely. We'll bring it on.
Another time.
Indeed. Yep. Well, we'll speak to you next week, hopefully.
Look forward to it.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks again, as always. Yeah.